All right. Good evening. And man, that was a blessing. I was born in the South, grew up in the South, so y'all, that was great. Amen. Very good. Well, it is a blessing to come back to Berean. It's been almost 20 years since we came the first time. 1999 is when we began deputation. For those of you who remember that, Jessica was a newborn, our oldest. She's now a junior in college. We called her Spike at the time because her hair stood up in the back, but she doesn't go by that name anymore. So she is at Bob Jones University. Our second oldest, Christine, you see the picture on the screen, it will be 18 here in a few weeks. She's doing dual enrollment classes at a local university in Macon. She has classes tomorrow, so she couldn't come. But our three youngest are with us, Audrey, Mary Kate, and Michael. And it has been a blessing to serve the Lord together in Brazil, see God work. And to know that Berean has been an integral part of that. Just I was reminded again this morning of how much a blessing it is to have a pastor in a church that values visiting their missionaries. Pastor Sweat has been in our home a number of times. You've sent groups down. You've sent ministry groups. You've sent a construction group. And we have been blessed by that. And I encourage you to continue that. I enjoyed some fellowship with Pastor Todd Friday morning, and look forward to more fellowship this week. It's already been a blessing this morning, just being here in Sunday school and so forth. So, quick question. How many of you have an all-in-one printer, either at your house or maybe at your job? You've got an all-in-one printer. Okay. Why are we talking about that? Tonight, it's just what came to mind. This is an all-in-one. It's to report, to celebrate what God has used Berean to do in recent years in Brazil. It's also to share a testimony of how God's been working in my heart and in the hearts of our family. And then also to bring a challenge from God's Word. So I understand the time, so we'll be aware of that, but it's an all-in-one, and I'm excited about what God has done and what He has in store. Can you pray for our family as we serve the Lord? Just to recap a little bit, when we moved to Brazil, started language school, first church plant was in Jardim Mirna, or Mirna Garden, First Baptist Church, and what a blessing to see God move there. In that ministry, we're also able to start a preschool. Now it's an elementary school, goes up through the fourth grade, and this was an early picture, 2006. Now they've ministered to approximately 150 students each week, and it opens a lot of doors to unsaved families in that area. After that, second church plant, Moraes Prado Baptist Church, and I won't grill you on the pronunciation afterwards, but in the same area, São Paulo is such a big city that you don't have to go very far to find another huge pocket of people. But this was the second church plant together with the missionary team, Nathan and Diane Frey and some other national workers. This was a vacation Bible school, 2008. And from that, we began to then seek after the national pastors in those two churches, began to pray about, God, where would you have us next? We assumed that it would be São Paulo. We had gone to spend our life there in that one city, certainly enough people to spend a lifetime there. But God began to close doors and redirect us, and we ended up in a suburb area about an hour west of the city, specifically in Jundiaí for the first year. And in 2010, November 21st, 2010, we started a Bible study in our home. We didn't realize or know if we were going to be able to start a church in that city or not. But at the encouragement of my wife, she says, "What does it hurt to start a Bible study?" I couldn't. I said, "You're right. Why not?" But out of that, God blessed, and a church plant did happen. Shortly after that, in March of 2011, we were able to purchase property in a smaller city next to that, Itupeva. Didn't understand completely what all God was doing. At that time, Itupeva had one stoplight. And I thought, God, what are you doing? We've come out of a city of 20 million plus people to a city with one stoplight. And I struggled with that a little bit. But we soon fell in love with the city, with the people, and seeing God really bless and thankful for the property that allowed us to purchase. And then we launched with the Bible study families that we had. We called them together, rented a house there in Itupeva, moved from Jundiaí, and had a special supper to explain what is a church all about. You know, we've been doing a Bible study, but what is a church about? What are the principles? We looked in Acts 2 and explained what that meant, and were very encouraged to see a lot of those families continue, some of those even driving from Jundiaí, a city of about 370,000 people, and continuing on, and even to this day have several families and more families coming from both cities, Jundiaí and Itupeva. Katja's children's ministry volunteer, a young lady from one of our churches in São Paulo, and she volunteered to come out every weekend. It took sometimes 3 hours one way. She would get buses, metro, a train, but sacrificially she came to minister every weekend, pour her heart and life into the children, into the ladies, and we've seen a lot of fruit from that. Kids accept Christ as their Savior. Ladies also be discipled, and soon, the next few months, she'll be headed up into northern Brazil and helping another church plant there. So it's exciting to see how God has used Katja in our ministry. December 9, 2012, we were able to move out of our home where we had been meeting and into a rented facility, and that was exciting to have more space. It seemed to be taking shape as a church, and that first weekend was also the first weekend with our national pastor and wife. They weren't elected as pastor at the time, but that was certainly the prayer that we were hoping God would lead in that way. And you'll see in a few minutes what God did. But Gledson and Barbara have been a huge help and have been very dedicated workers. They have two boys, Davi and Danielle. August 2013, you see some of the construction progress as teams both from Brazil and from the United States began to work on the church building. One of our key supporters was a church in Brazil, an older Brazilian church. And that was thoroughly exciting to see a Brazilian church really get a hold of this. They sponsored, in fact, our national pastor for a while until our church could begin to take over his salary. And that's really our goal, for missionaries to plant churches, but also to see them do the same thing without us. And that was a real encouragement to see what God used them to do. After a lot of work days, cleanup crews, we're able to move into the building for the first service, March of 2016. No windows and doors, but a larger space to meet. And so what a special service that was. We closed in prayer, kind of did a big circle. And I mentioned to the people that night, we want this place to be a place of prayer. And that's been our goal and our heart since then, to always bathe in prayer the decisions we've made. In January of 2017, we had a dedication service for Gledson as he officially became the permanent pastor of our church. And as we drove home that night, I kind of turned around in the car and I said, "Girls, I just lost my job." And that we were excited about that, but yet there's a little bit of sadness too, as we knew that the transition time was coming. And we certainly love our people and had been involved in shepherding the flock and seeing people grow in Christ, get saved, but are thrilled that they have chosen and followed the leadership of Gledson and their family, and the church is doing well still. So thankful for that. This was the dedication service, just praying. A lot of other pastors came for that special service and prayed for him and over him, that God would use him in a special way. That same time period, the church elected their first two deacons. So also building up other leadership in the church to come alongside of Gledson and serving him, giving counsel, praying together with him. And this was a special meeting we had. Of course, we're eating like good Baptists, right? You have to have food. So we were talking about different things that he had on his heart for that year and goals. April of 2018, so much more recent, just a few months ago, there's a construction progress. The building has come a long way to God's glory, and in part from what you've done also. Some of you went down and helped with the electrical installation, and Brother Schaefer helped build a temporary wall on the staircase that has become a permanent wall on the staircase, and I think we'll be there until Christ comes back. But so thankful for your help in that and what God has blessed in the church building. It's turned out to be a fantastic tool for ministry. Of course, we use it for weekly services. That's the key. A building is just a building if you don't do anything in it. So we, Christ and preaching is central to our ministry. Always look forward to spending time in God's Word and seeing people come together to worship Him. Children's ministries. I have a lot of children, and blessing to see babies and the children grow in Christ. A junior church there, and workers being developed and trained. This man also has been trained to help with an adolescent group. He's been very faithful to teach them. And then youth leaders were also trained and implemented in the youth ministry. In many places in Latin America, youth ministry is from high school until you get married. So that's just something that they enjoy. They spend a lot of time together, and often young adults are part of that ministry as well. But Thiago, there on the left-hand side, has been an integral part of leading that group. We also developed some small groups that can meet during the week. This proved to be helpful to invite a lot of neighbors, and often unsaved people would come to these small group meetings that weren't comfortable, perhaps, coming to a church service. And through that, have seen people come to know Christ as well. So that was neat to see. Children's Day, those of you who are children, October 12th is a great time to be in Brazil. It's an official holiday, and you get gifts and special things. And we parents are thinking, every day is Children's Day, right? But we try to take advantage of that and use it for an evangelistic event. They have games and snacks, but also go through a time of Bible study and Bible story, rather, where they hear the gospel, and often the parents sit in there with them and can hear about Christ too. Christmas time is another special event for us. We often use our choirs and so forth. This past Christmas, we're excited to see 40-plus visitors attend that night, and our church people really get involved in preparing and just getting ready for that night to share Christ through music. This was still that same night, a lot of people being there. Last night before we left, April 30th, I believe it was, we were able to use our kitchen for the first time. So that was a blessing, and looking forward to how God will use that in the days ahead. Changed lives really is so much more important than a building or other things. And I won't share with you all of the stories, but just two. Carol and Fernando began attending our Bible study early on. We did an in-home Bible study with them. They both accepted Christ as their personal Savior. But they were living together. They had already had children. And we just began to continue to teach them and pray. And they desired to get married, but it took them several years to do that, to make that step, to make the commitment to each other and before God of getting married. But what a blessing it was to see them do that, get baptized, and then the first wedding in the new building was Carol and Fernando. And what a celebration that was, just for the ladies to come together and help prepare for that and then celebrate with them. And now Fernando is the second treasurer of our church. And so to see that progression, that's by the grace of God. That is the power, the transformation of the gospel, even that Pastor Sweat referred to this morning, of transforming power of the gospel. Victor in the Brazil shirt was participated early on as well in the ministry, had a chance to disciple him, see him grow in Christ. He invited his friend Gabriel. Gabriel's parents, to my knowledge, have never come to a service, but he's been faithful to come. And then he accepted Christ as a Savior. Victor and I began a Bible study with Gabriel, and then Victor completed that. And again, that was our goal, to multiply ourselves and to prepare other people to continue the discipleship process. And so the day that Gabriel was baptized, Victor was able to pray with him and be right next to him as he followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Go back. There he goes. He gets baptized, and we're looking forward to see how Gabriel will be used of God for his family and to continue to witness, and hopefully his parents will come to know Christ as well. But stories like that multiply and end up in a larger group. And what brings us great joy, although we miss our people and we enjoy communicating with them, we know that many of them are trained and prepared and are active in discipling other people and sharing Christ. And that brings us great joy to know the ministry will go forward. Beyond the specific church ministry, I wanted to share with you how God has used Berean not only to plant a church in Jardimirna, in Moraes Prado, and in the city of Itupeva. But out of those ministries, God has called people. This young man and his wife, Alex and Angela, were in the very first youth group that we helped in, and he now pastors a church about an hour from us. And he came and spoke for a special service. So exciting to see how God multiplies even beyond that. We have three additional families pastoring and serving in different areas of Brazil. Also, that young lady that I mentioned that's headed up to northern Brazil to help in a church plant. Our church supports a Brazilian church planter in Argentina. So you see how your ministry just really goes beyond our church or where we've been, and God multiplies that, and I'm sure has done that through all of your missionaries. And that's an encouraging thing to continue to invest in missions. You should be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth, we see in Acts chapter 1. So as we look forward to the transition and begin to pray about, okay, what next? That was the question. What is next? Is it to continue to serve in the uttermost part of the earth, to come back to Brazil, although certainly where we were wasn't the remotest part of the world, but it's a long ways away? Or is it to do something in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and really prayed about that and begin to think what God may have for us? And God often brought me back to my life verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I like to plan things. I like to have things way in advance ready. And oftentimes, even before the transition happened, before we left the church, I found myself thinking, okay, God, I need to know. You haven't told me yet. I haven't seen it in the sky, and I'm praying and seeking. But he would remind me, I'll direct your path. Be busy about what you're supposed to do now and where you're at now. And that was a huge blessing to us. But sensing that God may be redirecting our ministry, I began to seek counsel from other missionaries, from pastors, and began to pray a lot with my wife about what is the next step. Part of this transition, I believe, began to happen in 2004. The very first furlough that we came back, I began to observe and see things that I really hadn't noticed before. And specifically, I began to notice foreigners and minority groups in a way that I had not seen prior to that. And as I would see, especially foreigners in different cities that we would visit and sometimes churches that we would be in, I'd be drawn to speak Portuguese. Even if they didn't speak Portuguese, that's just what my heart wanted to do, to communicate and to connect with them. And then I was burdened by so often being in churches and not seeing the diversity represented in the church that was very present in the community right around the church. At the time, I never expected that God would lead me to do something about it. And I was very content and knew that God wanted us in Brazil involved in church planting. But that was a burden that continued to grow. As we came back, continued to grow through the years. And then the last 6 or 7 years, I sensed God also moving my heart to give me a desire to pastor long term. I desired to have the opportunity to stay longer with a group of people and shepherd them to take other steps and to multiply ourselves in perhaps greater ways through a church and a long-term ministry. And through this process, God put us in connection with Brian Peterson. Some of you may know him, Lebanon Baptist Church in Roswell, so not too far from here. Brian mentioned that he had been praying about the possibility of his church helping plant a church in Cherokee County or Cobb County specifically. As we came back in May, we began to pray about that possibility. Took a lot of trips up to that area. And you'll see our family, our kids helped us to evaluate that and specifically evaluate some of the Brazilian restaurants in Marietta. And we certainly enjoyed that. Was not a sacrifice at all to do that and also connect with some Brazilians. Michael, our youngest, his evaluation was complete when he found his favorite chocolate. He was like, okay, Dad, this is the place. But seriously, it's been interesting. It's been a blessing to see God move, sometimes confusing, but it's exciting what God has before us. We believe that God is calling us to plant a multicultural church in Cobb County, most likely West Cobb is the area, specific area we're looking at. And there's several reasons that we believe God's led us in that way and is leading. But several of these, at the current growth trends, Cobb County will be comprised of over 50% minority groups within the next 4 years. If I understand correctly, I'm speaking to a group who, you live in Metro Atlanta. You know a lot about this. You know a lot more probably than I do. And from what I understand, Cobb County is the last county of Metro Atlanta that is not already a majority minority. So this is something that's very prevalent all across Metro Atlanta. And Cobb County is certainly growing towards that trend over the next few years. should reach that. So we, our prayer is that God would help us to be effective in reaching all the groups that are present in the communities that we serve. Also, there is a, well, okay, this is a just an article in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution last year, Amazing Racial Transformation of Cobb County. And then there's a large Latino population in this area, Georgia's highest concentration of Brazilians. And as we, as I visited even local churches and began to talk to pastors in the area and community leaders, even church members, it became evident that there's still a great need for churches that will effectively reach the international community, the minority groups, as well as the Caucasian community. And I don't have all the answers, but that's a burden that God has put in our heart. We believe God is calling us to respond to that. One of the needs I see as well is that some of the churches that are reaching out and that that are being very effective in reaching the Latino population, for example, Brazilians, and even other minority groups, oftentimes tend to be charismatic, tend towards a prosperity gospel movement. And so the main need is not just that we have a congregation that looks beautiful because of the diversity and we can take this really cool picture, but the main need I see is really doctrinal, that so many of the groups that are reaching or trying to reach out to these areas, to these other groups, are charismatic. And there's a lot of confusion in that. We've noticed that in the last 18 years in Brazil. There's many people that are saved, I believe, that are charismatics, but I believe there's a lot of people that are confused and that that really don't understand some of the simple things, even of salvation by faith and by grace through Christ. And some of the visits, churches that we, this, in fact, this is real close to y'all. It's a billboard that I saw headed back to Macon the other day, but just an example of prosperity gospel, Pentecostal idea. Another church, this is in Marietta, Deus Amor, God is Love. It is a Brazilian Pentecostal church that is in Marietta, and just an evidence, really, of that need there. Another difficulty I've seen in talking even with some language-specific pastors is that often there's a difficulty to minister effectively to the entire family. Oftentimes what happens is the kids begin to go to school, they learn English, they adapt to American culture, and then they grow to a point where they're not completely comfortable anymore going to the all-Spanish or to the all-Portuguese church, but yet if they go to the English service or ministry, many times their parents aren't comfortable being in that ministry either. And so there's difficulty oftentimes to minister to the entire family. And that's a burden we have, that God may help us to, through ESL outreach and other avenues, to help these parents and help these adults to learn English for many reasons. One, spiritually, to be able to enjoy fellowshipping and worshiping together with their children, but also with the larger body of Christ. And I believe practically there's a lot of benefits from that as well, for them to learn even more effectively how to speak to their doctors and begin to learn and hopefully value as Christ changes their hearts, begin to understand the laws of the land and respond to that in the Spirit. And we certainly don't sponsor or will not sponsor illegal immigration, but our goal is as God has brought so many of them here, we want to take advantage of that and share Christ where they're at and believe that God can transform their hearts and do an amazing work, whether they stay here long term or maybe go back to their countries with Jesus Christ and cause a big difference there. That's for the Lord to do, but that's our prayer. Another burden we have in that area, in Kennesaw, 1 in 5 residents speak a language other than English. So very, very prevalent, the international community. More millennials are moving to Cobb County right now than any other area of metro Atlanta. See a lot of construction. Another article, Cobb County, a bright tomorrow. Then you see a lot of construction happening for people moving into that area. Kennesaw State University, I was not aware of this until we began to study this area. It's home to approximately 35,000 students. It's now the third largest university in the state. In the student body, approximately 100 countries are represented. And oftentimes, students that come from different countries are among the brightest and most dedicated students. And so our prayer is that God would help us to reach some of these students for Christ, and that they would be able to go back to their countries and make a huge difference. I was visiting a church plant recently, and they had a ministry in a university. A student had come from India, got saved, is about to graduate as an engineer, and is hoping to go back to India and be involved as a layman in church planting. Praise God for that. That's exciting to see. We pray that God would allow us to see that as well with Kennesaw State University, with a lot of potential. We believe that a multicultural church in Cobb County has the potential to become an excellent place to train and send out Christians who are committed to advancing the gospel locally and internationally. We want to multiply ourselves even as missionaries. Nothing would thrill me more than to see a church planted as you've seen here at Berean. As years ago, God gave Pastor Sweat a burden to start a church here in this area. And as God has used this church in a phenomenal way to impact the world for Christ, sending people out and supporting and sending groups. And our prayer is that our church will be able to do the same thing and be able to have a huge impact. And perhaps even through ministries like ESL, begin to use college students that are learning these types of ministries to practice already in Metro Atlanta. Begin to get more comfortable with ministering to other people outside of their comfort zones and learning to communicate with people that sometimes are difficult to communicate with. And then God would give them a greater burden to go beyond Metro Atlanta and take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we believe that God can certainly impact the world for Christ through a church plant like this. In fact, I think one of the best ways really to further missions, to further international missions, is to have strong local churches here. That's essential. And so may God help us to be a part of that process, that we would continue to be able to send forth people, train people in our midst, be effective in reaching our neighbors, be effective in reaching our classmates, be effective in reaching the diverse communities right around us. And that will certainly help us to be able to send people to countries thousands of miles away that speak different languages. If they're learning that here, as they sit in the pews, as they come to Sunday school, as they're in the youth group, and this becomes a normal thing. And I've been encouraged even this morning to see how Berean is doing that, how Berean, God's opened the doors for Berean in several different ways. Berean buddies and different ministries that you have, continue that. Keep it up. Because as God uses your people right around here in Gwinnett County, what he could do and continue to do to send your people to other parts of the world. And that's our goal in a church plant as well in Cobb County. What is what's our motivation? If it's just a dream, if it's just something that seems like it would be fun, if it just seems like it would be interesting, that won't go very far. So we have to go back to Scripture, and there's been some biblical basis and some passages that come to mind that have been a huge help to me. Look with me in Luke 19:10. Luke 19:10. Jesus Christ, obviously, is the best model. And he's what motivates us primarily. Jesus interacted in Luke chapter 5. Don't turn there. You can stay in Luke 19. But Luke chapter 5, Jesus interacted with tax collectors. Luke chapter 7, he interacted with a sinful woman. Luke 17, a Samaritan leper. John 4, a Samaritan woman. John 8, an adulterous woman. He was called the friend of sinners. But yet, he wasn't a friend of sinners in the sense that he tolerated or he approved or he began to partake in the sins of those that he ministered to. But he clearly defined his mission. We see it in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. And it is to seek and save that which was lost. So we pray that God would help us as we move to Cobb County and begin to invest in people's lives, develop friendships, that God would give us that same burden. Not that we would become a friend of sinners and just, okay, we're going to do what they do, but be like Christ and be different, show love, share the truth, and have the same mission to seek and to save that which was lost. We're motivated by the early church. We look in Acts chapter 2, and I'll go over this quickly just for you to read later perhaps in your own time. But Acts 2, think back a little bit on the day of Pentecost. All the diversity that was there, the different nations that were represented. And in Acts 2:21, we see that these people that came together from very diverse backgrounds, they were united together by the gospel of Christ. And at the end of Acts 2, they were united together also in worshiping and living for Christ. That's our goal. That's our prayer. Again, I don't have all the answers. I know there's some difficulties. I know there's obstacles. Pastor Sweat mentioned this morning the solution to the racial hatred and things like that is Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that we can go back to, but praise God, it's enough. And as we continue to share that message and live that out and understand there's going to be some awkward times, there's going to be some difficult things to work through, but with God's help, boy, what a shining light we can be in such a contrast that we see today in our culture to be able to show that through Christ, this is possible. Through Christ, we can do this. We can be united by the message of the gospel. We see that in Acts 2 in the early church. But not only that, we're motivated by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was the apostle to who? To the Gentiles. Did he only go to the Gentiles? No, he didn't. He didn't only go to the Gentiles. In fact, he still had a huge burden for his own people. It says that as his custom was, he went first to the synagogue a lot of times. And that's our prayer as well. Some people have even asked me, David, so are you going to start a Brazilian church? No, I don't plan on starting a Brazilian church. I pray that God would help us to reach Brazilians. But hopefully our church will be able to reach the Brazilians, the Hispanics, the African Americans, the Caucasians within our community. And I'm burdened for all that are present in that area. In fact, we see in Romans 9:24, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Paul wasn't just for the Gentiles, but he was also for the Jews. He was committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was committed, we see in Scripture, he was committed to taking the gospel where the name of Jesus Christ had not been named. And that is so important. As long as God gives me breath, I will encourage and challenge people to be open to missions. If I had the chance to do it all over again the last 18 years, I would do it in a heartbeat. It's been a great experience, a great blessing. Paul was also, though, intentional of challenging the people to be effective in local missions. He told the church in Thessalonica, you've been so good at sharing Christ, we don't have to say anything else in your area. Oh, may that be said of our neighborhood. May that be said, young people, of your public school. You've said enough there that if I go visit you, I really don't have to say anything else. So we see Paul was yes, I want to travel and I'm willing to go the distance to areas where the name of Christ has not been named. That is so important. But don't forget local missions and the neighbor across the street and the people that we see at the restaurant and the gas station. They need Christ as well. And we need to be faithful to present Christ to them also. So the Apostle Paul is a motivation for us. Present day. Let's look in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We'll strive to be a body of believers that is sharing the powerful message of salvation, that is unified by that message, and then is lovingly choosing to live together in community, in Christian community, and worshiping Christ together. That's the goal. To be more specific, Kennesaw, for example, is 55% Caucasian, 25% African-American, 20% international. And if I could pick my congregation, which I know I can't, but there's a goal, that would be a simple goal. I say simple in the sense that there's some numbers. It's something to aim at, something to shoot for. God, if you would allow, may our congregation reflect that. May there be 55% Caucasian, 25% African-American, 20% international. And then as the community changes, may our congregation reflect that as we are reaching our neighbors for Christ and our coworkers, and that we would be a Colossians 3 church. Let's look at it, Colossians 3, starting in verse 10. and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We see, first of all, that salvation and Christ-like living are fundamental. We can't just rally around a social project, something that everyone thinks is interesting. No, it has to be Jesus Christ. That has to be our foundation. So we see that in Colossians 3:10. Put on the new man, which is renewed the knowledge, after the image of him that created him. So saved in Christ, and then following Jesus Christ, being changed and conformed into his image. Then verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. Boy, that's diversity. There's a lot of diversity in that verse. But right after that it says, but Christ is all and in all. So we see the diversity in the first part of verse 11, but then we see unity in Christ in the last part of verse 11. Go on to verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, why do you think, obviously I'm not the Apostle Paul, and I'm not trying to think into this more than I should, but I think that's probably there because of the verses prior to that. Why do we need kindness? Why do we need humbleness of mind? Why do we need long-suffering? Why do we need forbearing one another, forgiving one another? Because as people, we're difficult. Somebody can say amen, right? We're difficult. I'm difficult. I've got some quirks about me that my wife has to, in a marriage and in a family, has to pray, God, help me to forbear David and some of his weird things that he does and that are important to him. Our children, I love our children, but sometimes they're quirky. They've got some things that are important to them, and it's like, God, help us to be kind. In the church family, it's the same thing. There is a lot of diversity, even in this group right here, of backgrounds and ideas and opinions. Even more so when you just continue to add to that international community and minority groups, and you've got all these different ideas and backgrounds, and you've got different nations even represented in your church body. But praise God for this part where Paul says, put on therefore, elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies and kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Boy, if we could shout that out in the media, if we could help people around the nation understand that principle, how much better would our nation be? And may we pray that the church gets it right. I challenge you to be involved in politics, but go so far beyond politics. Politics is important to be involved in that process, but understand that it can only go so far. And without the message of Jesus Christ, politics in and of itself is not the solution. I know you understand that. But we have to be committed to this message. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Put on love. I heard a pastor say recently, love without the truth is meaningless. So I'm not talking about the love here where we just all gather together and we hold hands and we sing kumbaya and just it's a special time and boy, that felt so good and now we've gone home and we're going to come back and do that again next Sunday and we're just, hey, this is just great and grand. But what truth is being shared? Is that really love? It's not. So love without truth is meaningless. But at the same time, truth without love is just plain mean. We can have the truth. We can be committed and convinced and know, hey, this is it, and I'm committed to that. But God, help us to love. Help us to put on this humbleness of mind. Help us to have the mercies that he talks about, the bowels of mercies, the kindness, the long-suffering. Help us to forbear one another. Help us to be ready to forgive. Help us to be ready to flex. Because that's necessary if we're going to be effective in reaching out beyond our comfort zones. I know it is for me. I like what I like. And it's only by God's grace that I can give that up. So God, help me to put on love. Verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. This is in the same passage. of the verses that we read before, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Verse 11. But jumping back to verse 15, to the which, last part, to the which also you're called in one body. And be thankful. I believe it's biblical. Is it a hard goal to push for? Yes. Is it biblical? I believe so. I think we need to be committed to that as God, I believe, is bringing a lot of the mission fields to us. Help us to reach them. Help us to be effective. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The word of Christ, I've missed the verses here. Here we go. Verse 16. So the word of Christ dwell in you richly. God's word has to be central. It has to be important. It has to be the foundation of any ministry. And thank God it is here. I know that. I've seen the word of God be, and I've heard the word of God be. I was challenged this morning by the word of God. And I'm thankful for your commitment to God's word here. Keep it up. And may God help us as we start a new church in His timing and in His will. God help our church to keep His word prominent and important in our ministry. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, we have several goals that I want to ask you to pray with us about. The next few months, as we continue to, we've just started, really the beginning of last month, we started to visit our churches, share this burden. We have a lot more churches that we have the opportunity to go in and report, celebrate what God's done, but also share what God is calling us to do. So as we're doing that, we're praying that God would bring together a unified team, a team that's unified by the principles of Scripture that we've looked at tonight. A team that's unified to say, yes, in Christ, this is possible. And in Christ, we can get it right for the church and be that a shining light and a testimony to the world around us. So I'd like you to pray about that, but I'd also like you to pray for a diverse team. We need help. We're fluent in Portuguese, but we're not fluent in Spanish. And what a blessing would be if God were to bring another family that was fluent in Spanish to help us. What a blessing it would be to bring an African-American family that could serve along with us, that we could be more effective in the community. So we're praying for a diverse team, and I'd like you to pray with us about that in the months to come. That God, again, I can't pick a team. This isn't one of those things where you split everybody up, okay, you with me, I can't do it, but God can. And I know that God can do that, and He'll pick a team a whole lot better than I can. Praying that the Lord would bring together a diverse team. But we're also looking to the future. Okay, what are some practical ways as we listen to people and learn from past experience, good things and bad things? What are some things that maybe God would use in this type of ministry? I think language-specific Sunday school classes, perhaps, to help those that aren't fluent in English, bring them into the Sunday schools and have language-specific Sunday school classes, whether it be Portuguese or Spanish or whatever languages may be present. And then facilitate with the technology that we have available, perhaps in the morning service that will be English, predominantly English, use technology to help them understand the messages until they get to a point where they're comfortable even without that help. Maybe even discipleship groups, language-specific discipleship groups during the week, where there's a more intimate time and an informal time where they can learn from God's word in their own language, but also be part of a larger body of Christ where English is the main language. Not because English is better, but because that's the country, that's the environment that we're in. And when we moved to Brazil, we understood the importance of learning Portuguese. And although it's difficult, I would do it all over again. The time put forth to be able to communicate and to fellowship with other people. And that's something we want to encourage others to do here. We want to help you, but there's a lot of benefits is what we'll share with them. ESL outreach, English second language outreach. Recently, I was able to observe ministry in Roswell Street Baptist Church, a larger historic Baptist church in Marietta. And last year, in 2017, they started an international learning center where Sunday afternoons and then Tuesday mornings, they open up their building. They have volunteers come. Some are young, some are old, but they come in and they help people learn English. The Bible is one of their primary reading sources. They end the night with a reading circle and looking at Scripture. The last thing they do is they take special prayer requests. It's about a three-hour session. Right now, they just started the new session beginning last month. They've got approximately 150 students that are participating in that. So God may use something like that and use others to come alongside of us to help us with that. We pray that God would give us opportunities to serve in the community and be active wherever He places us, whether it be through our kids' school or sports opportunities or a neighborhood. But God, help us to connect with people in our community through those venues. Volunteer at Kennesaw State University. International students that are flying in. Another college ministry that I talked to, they volunteer. We're ready, and we have several families that they tell the group this. We have several families that are ready to go to the airport and pick up the international students. And that's been a great outreach to be able to receive. Think of this. Sometimes, this gentleman was sharing with me, sometimes they've been able to give the very first copy of the Bible to an incoming international student. How exciting is that? To be the first one as they come off the plane, and as they come out and they get their bags, you say, hey, welcome to the United States of America, but hey, I've got a gift for you that's a whole lot better than our country. And be able to see them, learn, and be able to sponsor them perhaps, have them over for a home-cooked meal, invite them over for special holidays, recruit other families to do the same thing. So volunteer at KSU, develop a host family ministry for KSU students. I think there's a lot of potential, a lot of opportunities that are present. But pray with us. There's a huge, huge need. This is on campus there at Kennesaw State University. There's two campuses. The main campus is in Kennesaw, and then there's a secondary campus in Marietta. As we close, two final requests and challenges. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. So pray for the advancement of the gospel in Cobb County. Pray for the advancement of the gospel in Cobb County. Gwinnett County is a better place because of what God has done and is doing through Berean Baptist Church and other churches like this one. And we pray that we understand we're not the savior of Cobb County. There are other people doing a great work in that area already, but we pray that we would be able to add to that, that God would use us to advance the gospel in Cobb County. But don't miss the last phrase of this verse. We start again. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. Can you say that last phrase with me? Even as it is with you. Let's say it again. Even as it is with you. So purpose to advance the gospel in your county. Purpose to advance the gospel in your county. Pray for us for the advancement of the gospel in Cobb County, but then purpose, God, with your help, I will continue or I will start to advance the gospel in my county, in my neighborhood, in my school, at my job, with those that I go to do hobbies with and hunt with. God, help me to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes as we pray tonight? Just a couple quick questions for you. Perhaps as we think about this last verse, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Perhaps there's some people that God is bringing to mind that you've already been investing in, that you've been developing relationships with, and God is encouraging you to bring to your remembrance once again, to continue, to look for new opportunities, to reach out again, to go out for coffee again, to invite them over to your house again, to go to a ball game together again. Or maybe it's some people that you haven't done that yet. But God's bringing to your mind maybe coworkers, maybe classmates, maybe fellow athletes, maybe some people in your community. You say, God, help me to fulfill that last part, even as it is with you. God, help me to be faithful to advance the gospel in my county. If God is bringing people to your mind, maybe people, like I said, that you've already been involved in and you've invested with, but God's encouraging you to continue. as well as those of you who'd say, God's put in my mind some people that I need to start that process with. And Brother Dave, would you pray for me, for both of those scenarios, that we would fulfill that even as it is with you? Would you just raise your hand as we close tonight? Brother David, pray for me. Yes, there are people in my neighborhood, in my school, in my job, that I need to continue that process or start that process to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anybody else? Brother David, amen. Amen. God, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for Scripture. Thank you that we can be unified in Christ. Lord, there's certainly some things that I don't understand, some things that I don't have the answers for, but we trust you that you will lead us and guide us, that we can learn from others who've gone before us, and that you will help us to boldly go ahead with the gospel. Lord, I pray that on the campus of Kennesaw State University, Lord, that you would raise up some young people that would be able to go out with agencies like GFA and would be able to serve Christ in other parts of this country. That would be able to serve Christ in other parts of the globe, Lord, and take the gospel. God, that perhaps their 4 or 5 years that they're in Kennesaw would be a time frame, Lord, that their lives would be changed by the gospel forever. And that you would use them then to multiply the ministry and the effectiveness of the gospel. Help these that have raised their hands tonight to be faithful, to perhaps continue that process, to invest and to speak into the lives of others and to share the gospel, even though, as we were reminded this morning, of the stubbornness of some. But God, so thankful, as also was mentioned this morning, that the Holy Spirit does the work, and we can't explain it, but we're so thankful for it. Help those, Lord, that you've put some new names in their hearts and minds, that they would begin that process. That yes, they would pray for us that the gospel would be advanced in Cobb County, but Lord, here in Gwinnett County, that it would go forth, would be strong, it would be glorified, that you would do your work, and we would give you the honor and praise for it. I ask you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed as Pastor comes and closes as he sees fit.